Welcome back to Raw Vegan Lens. I'm your host, Sherry Michelle. Let's go. Woo! It's been almost a month. Shocking, I know. I think that I have a lot of catching up here to do. So, I got a new job. That's why it's been a month. And it's pretty consuming. But it's good. It's good for me. And I think that hot right now, sorry, but I don't want to have the fan on because it makes too much noise. Here's the deal. So I went back to being a full-time caregiver for someone with Alzheimer's. I've done this before, as you probably remember, and it's very difficult but very rewarding, and I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to do something that made a difference in someone's life again. That's why I did it before. That's why I'm doing it now. And this is not like the last time, though. The last time was pretty much a pleasure cruise. I mean, for the most part, like, we just became best friends, and she was a brilliant woman. And this client is also a brilliant woman, but she's much further down the road than I have seen be at home ever before. So it's a miracle that her husband has been able to do this on his own. His kids, his daughter helps out on the weekends, and his son comes back from out of state every few months. But I'm there just to support him as much as her, because she became pretty bad pretty quickly right as he retired. And so it's sad, but it's also a lot of fun sometimes. I did not think that I could make a connection with her. She was so far gone. She is so far gone. But she has moments of perfect clarity, which is amazing. They're very few and far between, but she's not very old. She's only 72. And she's extremely fit and strong. She didn't like me at all. For the first 2 weeks, I wanted to quit every day, because she just didn't want me in her house, and she said no to everything, and I told the office. They hadn't been there yet. They sent me in cold. They had not met her. They just had talked with her husband and her son, so on the phone. So they wanted me to form a bond with her, and when I talked to them after my first day, I said, I don't know that that's possible, because her memory is really only like 5 seconds long, and she's just go, constantly on the move, didn't want me there, didn't like me, would just tell me no, would tell me to go home, would get really upset that I was following her on her walks. She likes to go for walks. She was, they didn't have an additional lock on the door yet. So she'd just take off, and I would have to like trail her like 10, 15, 20 feet behind her. And that would upset her that she wasn't alone and free. And it would upset me too. I would totally relate to this woman, actually. But we rounded a bend after 2 weeks, and now we're buddies. And she really makes me laugh sometimes. She can be very funny still. Sometimes just even her expressions, her facial expressions crack me up. Or she'll get really sarcastic about something just out of the blue. She likes to take things with her when she goes for a walk, like a hairbrush or a sock. You'd think a sock would be more grateful to get out, but no. And we listened to Irish music. She gave me a little tutorial on an Irish jig, and we just watch Antiques Roadshow, and we laugh about stuff. We talk a lot of gibberish, like not gibberish, but word salad. But if you can get her to laugh, then who cares if it makes any sense, you know? We talk about things that might not happen, but it's fun to talk about them, like getting ponies for the backyard, and we could just ride them around. We talk about going to Ireland to buy our ponies. Yeah, we talk about just fun, silly stuff, and I play her favorite music, and she wants to dance and sing, and that's always fun. Like anything that makes her happy or makes her laugh, I feel like is spot on. Like that's what's important. And then also just being a support system to her family. So, oh gosh, some crazy things have happened. I mean, she asked me one day, she said she wanted to suicide herself. And I really feel like it was a moment of clarity. And I said, of course, I could not let her do that. And just tried to comfort her. I hug her a lot. And I really feel like love conquers all. And so that is how we've gotten through so much of it already. About 20 minutes after that, she said she needed me to find someone to kill her. And of course, I said, I can't do that either. We need you here with us. We love you. We want you to be here. It's gonna be okay, but I step into her shoes a lot and think like I would feel the same way she does about so many things. And probably that too. And then like the next day, she had a knife that she'd taken from the butcher block while I was making lunch, and I didn't see it right away. Well, I saw it a few seconds, and I thought, I know these are unrelated, but yikes. She startles very easily. If you open a can of seltzer water, she's like very startled. So, had we, either of us walked up to her and startled her and not known she had a knife in her hand, I'd hate to think what could have happened. And she's put up some real physical fights too with her husband about taking pills. And, when we take her to a doctor's office, she gets very panicked or to get her hair cut. So, that's how I know how strong she is. I think that, yeah, that could have been really bad. And I have a friend whose father had Alzheimer's and killed his mom, like not realizing like what he was doing or who she was. And then he died like a couple weeks later while in custody. So I just, yeah, have to, we have to be really careful, putting anything up that's a danger, locking anything up. So, and she doesn't take off anytime she wants now. We have a lock on the door. And sometimes she'll say, "You guys are lying to me. Everyone's lying to me." Well, I do lie to her about the lock being broken. And I'm always saying, like, "Ugh, it's sticking again. We have to call the locksmith because I can't fix it myself." And her husband lies to her about what certain pills are for. She takes gummies, which is nice because she's pretty mellow in the afternoon. But he tells her they're for her circulation. So sometimes we just have to tell her things that aren't the truth because it's in her best interest, really, in keeping her safe and well. So this job has been, at first, those first 2 weeks were just absolutely draining. I was completely exhausted. But it got me on a really good schedule of eating salad in the morning, salad in the afternoon, salad at night. I would have, for the first 2 weeks, I pretty much had the same thing where I would have chopped spinach, chopped very finely for breakfast, mixed with hummus. And then at lunch, I would have a salad with tahini and Frank's hot sauce, which is awesome. And then at dinner, I would make kind of a sandwich out of iceberg lettuce leaves with carrots in between and a little bit of natural peanut butter. And what else did I put in there? Cucumber. So I did that for a good 2 weeks and I was feeling really good. And I knew I needed all the energy I could get and to be as close to raw as I could. But then I started like waffling. And I noticed myself wanting, I ate a lot of seaweed too, nori sheets or nori, they're not full sheets, they're little bite-sized kind of pieces. I noticed myself just like when I would make it to Thursday or Friday. I mean, Thursday I'd start to get, by Thursday I was getting really tired. By Friday I was just zapped and I needed to recharge. I needed the weekend and I needed to be mine. But I was having to go to family get-togethers for Gabe's family, and that was a little tough. And I just found myself like kind of throwing off, shackles. That's how I think of it, on Friday on my way home. And then I would just eat, not terrible all weekend, but not raw, not even close. And I'm just kind of kept doing that. But I've also had bites of things at work too. Like, she'll eat like a half a granola bar. And then I'm like, am I really going to like go tuck this away and, you know, or a half a banana, and I'll eat the other half, which isn't so terrible. But it's greasing the stairs. They used to call it Weight Watchers, where it's like, oh, I've already screwed up. Might as well have whatever I want on the way home. So that's where I am. And of course, then the diabetes is, it was really that my numbers were really coming down, but then they weren't. And I have now what's called morning phenomenon, where I wake up with high blood sugar. And I just keep thinking about when I did this online group, and we had to walk 2 hours a day and eat very clean raw vegan. And I'm just thinking, like, all I need to do is do that again for pretty much that same length of time, and I'd be in the clear, and this would be behind me. I would have to do that walking in the morning, though. I also had an old friend, move much, much closer to me. She's like 10 minutes away, so we hang out a lot. And that's been great. But also kind of like more time consuming too. Like, so I haven't had a lot of time to myself. This weekend I finally like claimed some. This morning phenomenon with the higher blood sugar, I feel like walking is really going to help, and raw vegan is really going to help. The only other thing I can do to get that in order is fasting, and I just can't imagine doing that job while fasting. It's just too stressful. It can be stressful. It can be really fun, but it can also be really stressful. To give you an idea, on Friday, I thought, you know, we were having a great day, and her husband will like go out for coffee and bring her home something, usually something to drink and a snack or something, like a scone or whatever. And when he did it this time, she had this orange, like this bar in her hand with an orange wrapper. And I was like, see, I told you, he always brings you a nice treat. And she took a couple bites and she hated it and spit it out. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll just put this up in the cupboard then. You didn't like that one. And then later, I noticed when I was down in the laundry room that there was a box in the room next to it that had a couple bars on the floor, but these were fire starter bricks, little ones, the size of a granola bar, same color wrapper. And I saw them on the floor and I took a picture and I sent them to her kids. I was like, hey, I think your mom got into these. Like, I see them spilled on the floor and I don't remember them being there before. I think it looks so much like the granola bar your dad brought her earlier. She probably thought they were granola bars. So I'm going to put these up. And then I sent a picture to her husband too. He was upstairs and we were downstairs. And so I would just send him a picture and let him know, like, hey, I think she thought these were granola bars, like you brought her earlier, so it looks a lot like it. I'm just gonna put them away where she doesn't see them. And he calls me upstairs a little while after that, and he shows me he gets the bar out of the cupboard, and it is from that box in the basement, and it is a fire starter brick. She was eating a fire starter brick that I thought he had given her because I thought it was a granola bar. I mean, that's just insane. Thank God it wasn't poisonous. It said something about the carcinogens, you know, when you light those to start a fire in the fireplace, that breathing them, you know, is kind of, you know, not good for you. But it didn't say anything about poison control or eating them or keeping them away from children. Shockingly, it didn't. So I just, I told my boss, and she couldn't believe there wasn't a warning on there, at least to keep it away from kids. It really looks like a granola bar or a power bar, actually. In fact, you know what it's called? It's called Extreme Start. And my friend and I were laughing because it's like, if you put a bowl of those in a break room in any any office, who doesn't want an Extreme Start? I bet everybody would be down for that, right? Oh God. Yeah, very extreme start. Combustible, in fact. So I haven't written to the company or anything, but I really think they need to put a warning label on those. Anyway, it can be really stressful, and I'm a stress eater. So, still battling with my sugar between 200 and 300. It was down to like one. God, I want to say 123 at one point, but that was before the morning phenomenon started. So then I'm just avoiding my physician's assistant because, okay, my physician is on maternity leave for seriously the third time in 3 years. So I have to deal with her assistant. And I would never have picked her to be my doctor. And I really think about cutting her loose there, but it's just as much her that I just don't care for, like the way she's just deadpan. She just has no reaction to anything I say, and I feel like she just ignores it. And that's not how my doctor is at all. And she tries to put me on all these medications, and she put me on metformin, and I took it for 2 weeks, had horrible stomach cramps and diarrhea every day. And said I just wasn't gonna do it anymore. I just stopped taking it. And then I got my sugar like really down to 123, but couldn't keep it there. And she's trying to get me to take another med. And they want me to talk to her. And I get these, texts through the system, and I don't want to talk to her. And their schedules don't match at all. They're complete opposites. And, I just have nothing to say to her. She knows where I stand. I know she's trying to do her job, but I'm still in the game here. I'm still working on this. She's just going to have to be patient. Also, I feel like I'm caught in the tractor beam and I'm trying to break free of it. The whole medical system. The way they want you, like you're a senior citizen now, and they want you to come in for this and that and get this. And it's no, I'm not doing that. I'm not playing that game. I'm in charge of my health and I'm not doing all of this stuff. I just feel like you're in between the doctors and the insurance company. And Big Pharma, all just like, and you're in the middle, and they're all just like going at it. Like, I just feel like I'm just getting like knocked around between them, and I'm not gonna do that. And that it has very little to do with what's best for me. That's my gut feeling. That being said, and I do feel like I've pulled out of the tractor beam. In fact, I deleted the app from my phone, and so I still can get emails, but I have not. So that's nice. Maybe I can't get them anymore because I deleted that. But they have my phone number, so if it's important, I guess I'll hear from them. I don't know when my doctor's due, but I'm looking forward to her coming back. And I also, then a week ago today, experienced vertigo for the first time in my life. And it was when I sat up too fast. I was able to like figure out, narrow it down when it would happen. When I sat up too fast from laying down, when I sat up in bed, and when I would lay down in bed from sitting up too quickly, I would get vertigo. And it happened 3 times that day, and it's happened a couple times since, but not out and about, like only in bed, which is really weird. Gabe thinks it's a crystal in my ear kind of situation. I'm not going to have it checked out yet. I'm going to see if I can just resolve it. And again, that's going to have to be with Ra because I just don't think I can do this job with this woman while fasting. Fasting, you really have to take it easy, not be going up and down stairs all over the house all day long, like I do, and doing all kinds of housework. Like I do for them. So I work pretty hard, and I will say I'm very good at it. Having done 2 full-time gigs now with people with advanced Alzheimer's, and then before that, I had some that I saw just several times a week. But I'm good at this. I think a lot of it has to do with the ADHD and also that I have improv training. It's all improvisation. It's like 6 hours straight of doing improv. And, you know, having upbeat answers to thousands of questions and being able to redirect. And it's interesting. No 2 days are even remotely the same. You just never know what's going to happen. The other day, we were putting groceries away, her husband and I. He had just come back with groceries. And she says, "So what, are you guys getting married now or what?" And I was just like, no, we're just putting away groceries, nothing like that. And he was upset by it and was pretty grumpy the rest of the day. He's very devoted to her, so he takes those things kind of hard. But I have to get my health in order. And I was thinking if I did the same program that I did before, just on my own, with walking 2 hours a day in the morning, maybe start out with an hour a day for the first 2 weeks and then ramp it up and stay raw vegan and really do it. Don't waffle, because I tend to just go off then on a tangent and just eat things that I shouldn't. If I did that for 8 months, like I did the year that I did really well with it, I lost 87 pounds when I did that. And I was in really great shape and felt really good and looked really good. Like, my skin was amazing. My eyes were super clear. So I think 8 months would be long enough where I would also legitimately change my habits. And I remember changing my habits back, and that was when I first started dating, or when I was dating Gabe and indulging in things that I really wasn't even that crazy about, because my tastes had really changed. I remember just absolutely loving ruby red grapefruit towards the end of that. And I got into running. I was loving running for the first time in my life. And that was when I did, I think, my second super sprint triathlon. So 8 months, and I'm starting at a much lower weight than I did that time. So, yeah, like 30 pounds less. That's all I would have to do. 8 months of like super clean raw and walking 2 hours a day, and I could put this all behind me. I'm sure the vertigo, the diabetes for sure. The maintaining it is the tricky part. But I think after 8 months, I will form some really solid habits, and I would just, you know, keep up the walking, which would turn into running because I get tired of walking. But I'd be a runner again. And my eating would definitely be better. So that's the plan. I did think about changing the name of the podcast, though, because I feel like this really doesn't deliver what it's, you know, I wouldn't say promising, but it's saying, you know, raw vegan, and I haven't been. I looked up whether the name Worst Podcast Ever was already taken, and it was. I don't think for an actual podcast. I think for episodes it was taken, but I don't know. It should probably be called something like Healing Lens or Vegan Healing Lens, or I don't know. I'm going to have to pop around and get around a few ideas, but it probably needs a new name because, well, let's just see how the next 8 months go. We should be back on track, actually. Anyway, I appreciate you guys being here for these 24 minutes. You could have done a lot of different things with these 24 minutes. You could have bought some ponies to ride around in the backyard. Speaking of which, I think I am going to do stand-up again. I know I'm not that funny here, but I am a writer, and I did do a year of open mics before I did improv before I went to Second City. And I have a ton of material that I just think it would be fun. It would be some late nights, but I think it would be a nice balance for the work that I'm doing during the day, which can be very serious at times. And I just think it'd be fun. It'd be fun to do it again. It would be uplifting. Why not just do the fun stuff, like Stephen Levin said? I think I'm very grateful for you guys. And I appreciate you being here. I apologize for the big gap between episodes, but we have some exciting stuff coming up. So hang in there. Love you guys.